Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them."
So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?
And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost."
Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
I have to say what a joy it is to see all of you this morning and to know how many are joining with us worshiping online. It is a great reminder in this Lenten season that Sundays are reserved as mini Easters. Now, sometimes we forget that, but part of the journey of Lent is to remember that on Sunday we are to celebrate, or at the very least remember that Easter is coming. Now, we may do this by maybe indulging in whatever it is that we have given up for the season, or at the very least, just to be reminded that in this season, a new one is coming, that this will be replaced by something else. And that is part of what we are doing in remembering Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God, the reality that is both here, but also the reality that we are about to embark in the future. And so it is our joy that we see this as a way to celebrate. It has also been a joy to hear about how many people in our congregation continue to be vaccinated, whether it's the first time or the full two shots. But we also know that others are still waiting. And that is part of the reality that we are experiencing right now, the reality of the now and the not yet, that some are able to rejoice, that some are able to see that bright future a little bit more clearly. But for others of us, perhaps we are still waiting. Perhaps we are still struggling. Perhaps we feel as though it is not coming as quickly for us as it seems to be for others. And this, too, is important to remember in the parable that Jesus tells us today. In the movie Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, Commander Spock at one point says, "Logic clearly dictates that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." And Captain Kirk responds, "Or the one." Spock, of course, if we know anything about Star Trek, is all about logic. And we have come to understand that sometimes what we feel, our emotions, are not necessarily the best way to respond to a situation. Sometimes we might say, I'm going with my gut. And sometimes that works, but other times it doesn't. And so we have to refer to those instances, perhaps even those gifts, when our logic tells us something that our emotions do not. And hopefully that makes sense. We move forward and we do find that it was the better decision. Because why would we risk so many to focus on just saving a few, or especially just one? Except Jesus tells us this is exactly what the kingdom of God is like. In Luke 15, Pharisees and scribes notice who Jesus is hanging around with, grumbling among themselves, "This fellow welcomes and even eats with sinners and tax collectors." This is supposed to be the Son of God, the self-proclaimed Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he not only associates with these others, but he eats with them. He communes with them. He actually touches them. Why would a rabbi, a Messiah, spend his time associating with, speaking with, paying attention to the very people we have been taught all of our lives are not worth God's attention or love? Maybe what we have been taught is not true. Maybe Jesus is here to show us what that truth really is. At the very least, it is counterproductive to spend so much time and attention on just a few, or especially the one, when there are so many other crowds, when there are so many other synagogues, there are so many other temples, there are so many other churches demanding God's attention. There is no percentage in attending to the one when you are responsible for so many. Last month, an Indianapolis middle school principal was sent an eighth grade student who refused to take his hat off, which was, of course, against their rules. Now, you can imagine that right now, most schools, most students, most teachers, family, staff, and principals are all stressed pretty much to the max. Now, we are still trying to figure out how to navigate through life safely, and the last thing a principal needs, on top of everything else that they are in charge of and responsible for, is disciplining a kid for simply not taking off his hat. But instead of just throwing out the typical punishment or consequence, the principal asked the student why he refused to take his hat off. And the student said he was worried about the haircut he received. He was afraid that nobody would like it. He was afraid that all of the other students would make fun of him. So this principal, rather than just doling out a disciplinary response, went home, got his own personal set of clippers, and gave the student a haircut in his own office. This may seem trivial, someone posted on their Twitter page after seeing the story, but shout out to that principal for understanding the significance and appearance of its impact on self-esteem at that age. And I would even add, shout out to that principal who took the time and the energy, the attention and compassion to care for the one. Later on in the film Wrath of Khan, when Officer Chekhov is in trouble, Spock insists that the crew go and save him, even at the risk of jeopardizing their vital mission to save Earth and everyone on it. And Kirk says, "Is this the logical thing to do?" Spock answers, "No, but it is the human thing to do." In a sort of remake, Star Trek Into Darkness, Kirk and Spock kind of switch their roles and their choices in this version. When Kirk risks the entire Enterprise to save Spock at the beginning of the film, Spock uses that event to explain why it is so illogical to risk so many to save just one. But later on in the film, the Enterprise ship's warp core is damaged, and the ship is plummeting to Earth in certain death. Now, in the original film, it was Spock who went into the radioactive chamber to repair the warp core and save everybody. But in the remake, it's Kirk. And in his last moments, before succumbing to radiation sickness, Kirk says to Spock, "I want you to know why I went back for you, why I could not let you die." Spock already knows the answer. He says, "Because you are my friend." To save the one, to go after the one, to recognize the one who is in need, is to also recognize the relationship which exists, which may on the surface seem illogical, perhaps even unfair, until we are the one. Until we are the one in need. These last 2 weeks, we have looked at parables, as Pastor David said, parables of Jesus in which he tells stories of some being recognized and given love and grace, and others thinking that that love and grace is unfair because it has been unearned. With the parable of the landowner, it was the workers who started at the beginning of the day thinking it was unfair that these workers who showed up and only worked an hour would receive the same wage that everybody else got. With the parable of the prodigal son, it was the older brother who had worked so hard his entire life, obeying his father, doing everything that he was told, and then feeling cheated because his younger brother shows up and is welcomed home after everything he has done and after everything he has squandered. Both times, the character being condemned, being shouted at, says, "Didn't you already receive what we agreed upon? Everything I have is yours. You are always with me. I choose to give to them exactly what I choose to give to you. It is right to celebrate
because this one was lost, and now they are found. They were dead, and now they live again. This, Jesus says, is what the kingdom of God is like. Of course, it is illogical. Of course, it doesn't make sense. And even sometimes it can seem unfair until perhaps we are the one who is in need of the kingdom of God. When has there been that time in our life when we have been out of place? When we have been the one not doing so well as everyone else seems to be? When we have been lost, desperate to be noticed, and then we have been found? This may be one of the reasons Jesus refers to the reality, this reality, as a kingdom. Now remember, this was an empirical time, because not just because of the Roman Empire, but there was this deep, deep cultural identity of empire, as there had been for thousands of years. Global empires, communal empires, family empires, cultural empires, anyone and everyone having their place, their status, their role, even if that status and that role was harmful and oppressive to so many. And then here comes Jesus saying that there is a different kind of kingdom, using our language to try to help us and connect with the reality of this world with the reality of the one to come. There is a kingdom that is not about ranking or status or skill or service. There is a kingdom that is about love and grace and equity and forgiveness and resurrection. Today, some do not refer to this reality as a kingdom, but rather as a kindom. Because it is not about order. It is about relationship. And when we live in a reality based on relationship, the one is just as important as the many. It's as the song says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. And when the one is lost, we go and we find them and we bring them back. We bring them back home and we celebrate. That is what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus says. Perhaps if we all did this more often, perhaps if we lived in this way, it would not seem so illogical. Let us pray. Gracious God, we confess to you that your kingdom does not always make sense. Sometimes it is hard, it is stressful, it even seems unfair. And so we ask that you help us to see and experience what it means to live in a kingdom that is not based upon what we do, but who we are, and most importantly, who you are. Help us to remember those times we have been lost and have been found, and give us the strength to share this kingdom, this reality, with one another. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Shepherd. Amen. I rarely have reason to promote McDonald's, but I do have to admit they made one of my favorite commercials of all time, and this was decades ago. There were all these kids who were ice skating, and one of the kids was a little bit smaller than the others, and he had clearly never ice skated before because he kept spinning around the lake. And all of a sudden, Ronald McDonald showed up. Now, I apologize to people who are afraid of clowns. I understand it's a very real fear. I've always thought they were hilarious, so I was really into Ronald showing up and skating with all of these kids. But the problem was this little kid who couldn't keep up, he was just kind of off in the distance, and no one seemed to notice that he was missing. And so while this little kid is watching Ronald playing with all of the other kids, then Ronald just kind of starts skating away. And the boy, of course, is very sad. Until Ronald turns around, skates up to the little boy and picks him up in his arms and just holds him up in the air as they spin around and around while everybody else is watching. And I think I remember that commercial to this very day because it's like this story. And do we know that experience, feeling at some point in our lives as though nobody notices, how we're not able to be keeping up, that we don't seem to be as good as everybody else and no one is paying attention until someone does. Someone comes right up into us, into our personal space, picks us up, holds us high and celebrates to say, you were never forgotten. I knew you were there all along. That, Jesus says, is what the kingdom of God is like. It is like that time when we feel as though no one can see us, no one can hear us, that those powerful hands come down and pick us up and hold us high and celebrate. When we are able to live into that reality, the kingdom of God becomes real to the world. So let us go. Let us go out into that world, into the circles that are around us, to be able to see, to recognize, to walk up to those who are lost, and however it is that we can, whether it's physically, spiritually, whatever, pick them up, hold them high, and say, you have not been forgotten. You matter. You are loved. You are part of the kingdom. That is how the kingdom is here. So let us go and live it out. Amen.